Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. 7 o'clock, John and Lance, along with Tyler, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Tyler Drew Scott. If you want to tweet the show, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. All kinds of drama out there. Did you happen to watch the Olympics last night? Did you catch any of the...
No, I was watching Rockets.
You were watching Rockets. You didn't catch any of the women's figure skating, the Valieva?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know about that drama.
Yeah. I mean, it was big drama.
Or is it melodrama?
Well, it really wasn't. It was drama in that... There was a lot of melodrama, especially the silver medalist was crying because she wasn't the gold medalist. She's from Russia, and she didn't win the gold. And she was like, everybody has one but me. Everybody has a gold medal but me. And so why don't I have one?
Well...
I was like, what?
But the 15-year-old...
Maybe you didn't win.
The 15-year-old who took Papa's heart medicine, supposedly, yeah. That's her excuse for right. Being juiced up to the gills, is she crashed and burned.
She did, and she's 15 years old, and I really felt sorry for her.
Did you?
She's in the middle of it, and maybe she did, but, well, listen, a 15-year-old, is she going to take that stuff, or is she going to do what she was told to do?
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think that goes without saying for all the Eastern Bloc countries and Russia, and just over the years,
yeah.
Chinese gymnasts or whoever.
Well, German everything.
Listen, you are with the East Germans. Well, you're in a communist country where the government controls you, and they want to win events. And this is, of course, dating back, decades. No, I think you have to do what you have to do. I don't think a 15-year-old girl's like, I got to get my hands on some of this Stanza ball. Or Anadrill, or whatever name I'm making up.
Right.
I don't think they think that way. I think Russia comes, we have some vitamins for you. You need to begin taking them through an injection.
I don't want injection. The injection vitamins help my hiney. You doesn't matter on your hiney. You're going to be able to do quadruple. No one has ever done quadruple. I am only 11. You're going to be the best 15-year-old woman ever.
But
you don't have to worry about menstrual cycle anymore when we give you all of this Stanza drill for your vitamins.
You want blood? No.
Don't worry. Everything fine. Do a quadruple. You win gold and then you can go live on a farm and farm with chickens until you die at age 30 like Russian women do. Or you go to Key West and try to find man.
I'm going near there, so I got to watch what I say.
Yeah. You're going near Russia, the motherland.
the IOC president was PO'd after she finished in fourth. Valieva, the girl that's been in all this controversy, so they were able to. She finished in fourth, so they were able to have a medal ceremony. One of the Russian women won. One finished second, and a Japanese girl finished third. But Valieva, here's what her coach said to her. I mean, she's in tears crying. And afterwards, her coach said this. Why'd you let it go? Explain to me why. Why did you stop fighting? You let it go after that, Axel. Why? And instead of, comforting her, a 15-year-old, she's berating her. That she's wearing a mask, but the coach appears to be Maybe she was a former figure skater. I don't know. She'll probably more than likely, yeah. But more than likely. But apparently she's you want to talk about somebody tough to play for. Hey, why'd you quit? What's wrong with you? A 15-year-old is in tears, broken down,
yeah.
and you're berating her. But that's the Olympic Committee. Thomas Bach, president Thomas Bach, later told reporters, "I am pissed at Russia. You suck." And I don't think, listen, Putin might invade. Putin might. You better watch yourself.
You better watch yourself.
I'm not saying anything about Putin. Love that guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to poison you where you're going than poison you here.
Oh yeah. There won't be any investigation.
So you got something you want to say about Putin now?
No, I'm saying I love that guy.
Okay.
Just like he's better than Roger Goodell, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, let's slow down.
Yeah, no.
Has Putin ever ushered in the most financially lucrative television deals of all time?
Do you know how much money Putin has?
I think Putin
puts the entire NFL to shame with his money.
Does he have 32 owners he takes care of?
He could buy all 32.
That's
all
what
of
I'm
them.
Saying. Putin's just a Putin guy. I'm not afraid of Putin for right
oh,
now.
Oh, no, Putin's the man.
Actually, he can get to me, too.
Yeah, no, he can get to you.
Let's be real.
No, I watched
the Americans.
Did you hear, and the South Mexican border? I read the story in News of the World the other day. Russians are coming through the Mexican border. Guess
deal.
What, dude? They're here.
Before you know it, it's going to be just like the Americans,
you
the TV show.
You said something about a Russian skater.
You've been doing a funny joke for many years about Russia. No, it's about 610. I do Texans Communist Radio Network. It's something totally
different.
I use a voice, a stereotypical Russian. Right. I know you guys aren't like that anymore.
No.
So
it was that you were doing your Czech voice.
Like the Rocky days, like that. That bad Russia, not the good Russia, like now,
that's going to invade Ukraine.
The good Russia.
I
was doing the Ukraine.
Yeah,
that was
like
my Ukraine.
The cool Russia. Not the yucky Russia.
No.
The one that the U.S. tried to turn me against you. Not, obviously, I was for you in 80 when you won the Olympics. I mean, when you lost. I was like, secretly, so don't poison me, please.
Yeah.
Would you like some soup?
I mean,
I don't.
You were talking before the show about, sports that have really fallen off that we don't, the Olympics?
All Winter Olympics.
How much Olympics have you watched?
Not much.
Well, you're busy.
But when I've been very, very busy, so I'm not I'm probably not the right person. But I did, when Snack started watching the other day, he stayed watching it. To this day, there are a lot of sports that if I start watching it, tennis, golf.
Yeah, and I know.
There's a lot of sports that I don't watch on a regular basis that when I start watching, if it's a high-end tennis match, not just any tennis match, but if I'm watching a majors and it's, and Rafa's playing Jokic, and you watch some rallies, and I may get locked in on it. Golf is the same way. I may get locked in on the final round of a golf event. But the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, I've never been a skier. I've never been anyone who participates. I've never been in cold. I've never lived in cold weather, except this morning. But
forget to freeze.
I like seeing forever. It's the same thing where you see the number, you see the rolling clock. As a skier or somebody in the luge or whatever, and you want to see if they're making up time. Oh my gosh, they just made up half a second. And you get into the excitement of it all.
A half a second, yeah. A quarter second. Oh my God.
Yeah. But I also grew up at a time when I was a kid because you're most impressionable as a sports fan when you're young. And you're most open also to watching different stuff. And that's when it was the Mayer brothers and Eric Heiden. With the incredible, I remember doing something in my elementary school about Eric Heiden's. We able to get on the microphone and
attention, Crockett Rockets, or
where did I go? I went to Jackson Elementary, which I'll guarantee it was named after Andrew Jackson, probably.
Well, great guy.
But
attention, Jackson Jaguars. We have your Olympic update, and we do Olympic updates in the morning, and everyone was all excited about how many gold medals that people won because it was Eric Heiden. That was in Helsinki. That was the – no, not Helsinki.
Wherever.
It was in New York. I can't remember the place.
Lake Placid,
I think. So we would do that, and Phil and Steve Mayer and the U.S. Olympians and the Olympic hockey team was a huge deal.
Yeah, like, that was huge.
All that stuff was really, really huge. And then the and then the Summer Olympics is even bigger.
Yeah, it's really, and it's, I don't know how NBC does it with the money that they spend on that crap and all of this and the ratings that they get. I don't know, but there is some drama. Eileen Gu, have you heard of her? She's like, dudes, like, whatever, this is awesome. I won two golds.
The snowboarder?
No, she's a skier, but she does the slalom, not the slalom thing, but the, you know, it's like a,
yeah,
like a skateboarder. Like a skateboarder.
Yeah.
And she won two golds and a silver. And she's like, yeah, I love China, and that's why I love to compete for them, or whatever. She won three medals for China.
And she talks like that?
Yeah. Her mom was born there.
But she's here.
And then left right after
she
China
was born in California. Kind of,
sometimes I always have to dig
her
around.
Her mom was born in China, which is why she's competing for China.
This is why, you know, sometimes I have to check up. I'm like, Google, hey, is China still communist? Google search. Because,
yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like China's communist. There's no breadline. There's no gulag. There's no, well, they have. They have stuff like they'll do.
Not
sometime
every
you see,
communist countries like Russia where you're getting a bread line.
Communist TikTok.
Well, yeah.
They have TikTok videos. Well,
I don't
heavily
know.
Regulated.
Yeah.
Heavily regulated TikTok videos.
They don't have Rockets basketball.
No, they do not have Rockets basketball or Sixers basketball now.
Nope.
But wherever Daryl Morey goes, that team dies in China.
No more China.
No more in China.
Does not exist. No, do your
Rockets,
Chinese accent.
Rockets. My throat hurts.
Do your Chinese communist accent.
I was wondering why we're doing these things. I think that's how it sounds. But
what?
You know the Rockets. Tillman's like, hey, he's gone. Can we get back on y'all's TV and get some advertising dollars?
Remember what I said?
I was all on board with China. But that's what...
I'm with LeBron. I'm me and LeBron are boys.
But that's like... Does that feel like something communist China would do is let an American...
she's like the biggest thing there now.
No, I know, but back in the day, there's no way you were not like we wouldn't have taken an American. It was little Chinese kids walking in a straight line, marching, and it was that's way relaxed now.
Well,
Chinese communism is a way relaxed communism, you still can't say or do things.
And then there are the Americans that are competing with Chinese names and look Chinese, and. But they're competing for America, and they're not well received there at all. They're not happy with those people.
China?
Yeah, China
well,
does
I
not
mean,
like.
We've had mass globalization over the
well,
years.
Well, right. And how many Chinese people live here?
But that's the other thing that's happened in mass now, is especially in Summer Olympics. Oh, especially in, well, we sit in World Cup a lot, but even Summer Olympics, you see people competing in countries. Wait a minute.
Right.
This Nigerian guy is not Canadian. And they'll even tell you he's. He had a dad that was half Canadian or something, and so now the Nigerian runner who couldn't run for Nigeria wasn't good enough to cut it in Nigeria. Right. You're usually getting sloppy seconds when they go to another country. Usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, though he grew up in Greece.
Right.
These are transplants. These are people who don't even live
there.
Well,
no. All you had to do was your mom worked there one day or something. She worked there for a week.
Like World
and now
Cup,
you can compete for them.
World Cup's very much like that now, and the U.S. has taken advantage of it. Well, when they used to have a team a couple cups ago. But World Cup's very much like that, too, where you get to compete if it's a mother or father, citizenship thing. So
you could have competed for Germany.
Not my mom or dad.
Huh? Well, I know you, but your great.
I don't know if you got to go. You got to go pretty far back when the we were Bavarian. We were Austrians, I think. And I don't know if there's a difference.
I mean, you could probably start for their basketball team now.
I don't know if there's a difference. Yeah, maybe so. But,
I mean, yeah.
What about you? Who would you play for? Greece or Italy?
I could play for both.
But Italy,
if we lost, I'll go over to the Greek team.
You're probably not good enough to play for Italy. So would you play for the lesser?
Absolutely, I would.
This is what happens. I'm not good enough to play for the one I'd like to, or where I live currently.
Right.
Like I'm not good enough to play in the U.S. You know what? You're from Cameroon? Her mom's from Cameroon. She's technically a citizen. Oh, you're good.
Sure,
you now are on the Cameroon basketball team. I don't know. Do they speak Cameroonese? I don't speak any other language. I live in Kentucky.
Well,
that's okay.
Right. Eileen Gu, She really got it. She needs a translator for to relay her message her country that she's representing.
How much more Olympics do we have?
This is it. This weekend, I think. It's over.
Okay. I need to watch a little bit more Olympics.
No,
just out of respect.
I think you're good.
Just out of respect.
714 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Rockets played last night, too. Did they really show up?
Out of respect,
up?
We'll talk about that. But Ryan Hollins had a comment in the second quarter that was fairly prescient. And I'll tell you what he said in the second quarter to let you know that he had a good feel for where this game was headed.
In the meantime, I'm going to – now, the people over there – I'm out next week. And the people – where I'm going, the people didn't know that I didn't have hair. But you knew I didn't have hair here, right? Okay? I was like a mangy dog. That's how – it was spotty. That's what it was. It was pretty damn spotty until Doc Linville came along. And when Doc Linville came along, Doc Linville took care of that business for me. All you got to do is go to ESPN 975 Hair, ESPN 975 Hair, and start the process, people. It is so easy, so wonderful. Talk to Doc Linville. He's going to tell you exactly how he does it. The process is wonderful. I can tell you that. It's easy. In the chair for 4 hours. Fred was in there longer than I was, but that's okay. I mean, Fred had a lot of work to do. He had a lot more work to do than I did. But I was in there for 4 hours. I was at work on Monday. Fred was in there 8 hours, and he was at work that night. And he worked his shift at 4 o'clock. So listen, if you're looking for the best way to get hair, it's so simple. It's wonderful. 8 months later, you got hair. You got hair at 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He does.
That's an old picture. For some reason, ESPN showed a graphic with Luka Doncic. And yeah. It looks like they took...
He's got a fat suit on.
It looks like they picked literally the worst picture they could and used that. I've noticed that's a little trick that news agencies will do, depending on their tilt, if they're conservative, if they're hyper-liberal, whatever it is. They'll try to find, if there's somebody they don't like, they'll try to find a picture that's the most unflattering to use for them. And this one's almost like ESPN's mad at Luka. Luka's on a run right now. He's on a serious run. But we'll get to that.
It's not DeMar DeRozan.
No, DeMar's. Yeah, don't
Holy
worry. I've been
crap.
Getting the DeMar speeches from my son Mason. Do you know what DeMar? This looks the third time. Remember when I told you that DeMar tied Jordan for the fifth time in history mm-hmm. that a Bulls or the second time in history since Jordan. That a Bulls player had 35 in a row for 5 games, 35 or more. Yes, I remember, Mason. Well, guess what?
Seven.
It's now, yeah. And so so he's got a little James thing going where James had his 30-plus games, although his is 35. Luka had a monster game. You know who didn't have – well, you know who had a monster game yesterday? Everybody who played for the Clippers.
Yeah.
They all had monster games because they played the Houston Rockets in a back-to-back. And Lionel Hollins – or Ryan Hollins, rather, the Rockets color commentator who we've had on the show before here. It's his first year doing Houston Rockets games. In the second quarter, the Rockets were losing by about 14.
That's all?
Yeah, they were losing by about 14 in the second quarter. That's all at that time. They lost by 31. They lost 142 to 111. In the second quarter,
doesn't
in the midst
like
of...
they played a lot of defense.
No, it was about midway through the second quarter, and he made a comment about... Wow, what a shot by Jalen Green. We're seeing a lot of growth from him. Now, we've just got to see the Rockets play a little bit of defense. Like, he goes, there's not a lot of defense being played tonight, and I don't see the effort there. And if that doesn't change, this one's going to get really ugly. Well, guess what? It got really, really ugly. The Rockets gave up in the four quarters they played, 36, 35, 36, 35. That's right, 71 in both halves. 71 points in both halves.
That's a lot.
That is horrific basketball. And this is the big, big concern you have with the Rockets. You can find little individual battles that you can point to that you that get you excited, or you look at, boy, look at them compete against the Suns. This is why the Rockets are going to have an early pick. They're competitive in one game against the Suns, but just can't muster any kind of effort in the second game. And they give up 142 points in a game against the Clippers. They're an 11.5-point dog. So it's not like, you know, Vegas didn't know that they would struggle. But this is the Rockets' problem right now, is they just don't care enough on defense to sustain an effort at any point. And then number two, they just don't have the wherewithal. And certainly it's a talent issue to an extent, well, but there is some talent on the roster.
But look at Zubac and Hartenstein. Just they've got nobody that can stop anybody inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the rebounds.
There is no
50 to 35.
There's no
Hartenstein had 25 minutes and 25 and 13 points on 6 of 8.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you have Şengün, who's not a very good defender. You have Christian Wood, who's not a good defender.
Guard anybody inside.
So you have two guys who don't defend right now. That's a problem. You have two guys, and Şengün is not a super athletic guy, so he's not going to be. I mean, he'll get you some blocks here and there, but he's a guy that you can extend in like high screen and roll situations and drive him to the basket. That's one of the areas where the Rockets have some concerns about him, is his athleticism and his, you know, lack of defense. And then Christian Wood, you know, lacks defense. And then this team, the team concept, they're not a very good team defensive, you know, a very good team concept defensive unit. So it was a bad one yesterday. I hung in for a little while on that one. One of the stories that popped up through the internet, at least just through a picture, was Pat Beverly was courtside. You know, Pat Beverly played for both these teams. Yeah. Where does Pat Beverly play now? Who does he play for? Is it Memphis or...
Is he in Minnesota? He's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at the game with a Clippers jersey on.
Who was?
He had a hoodie, a white hoodie on, and he was wearing a Clippers jersey over.
Good for him.
And Rockets fans were like, you Pat, we made you. We brought you back from another country and made you here. But one thing that as I was reading this text string, there was just a picture that was put out there, and then a bunch of fans were commenting. You know, the Clippers fans love Pat Beverly. They basically think Pat Beverly deserves a statue out in front. Pat Beverly's one of those guys that wherever he played, people are going to love him there. Every other place is going to hate him. But Pat Beverly, I've got love for Pat Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dog. I got a lot of love for Pat Beverly. But Clippers fans apparently have a ton of love for Pat Beverly as well. And they were so excited that he was wearing a Clippers jersey. Can he be fined by Adam Silver for wearing another team's jersey at a game when he plays for another team?
No.
Is that as long as he's in the stand,
I don't think he could have got on the floor.
He was a court seat. It was a courtside seat.
But I don't think he could have gotten into the game, I'm pretty sure. You can... Hey.
Shouldn't that be a finable offense to wear? That feels like tampering or something.
Tampering. He's selling himself to the team.
I know, but that doesn't feel... Minnesota should fine him.
You know, they just extended him, too.
Shouldn't Minnesota fine him $50,000?
They just gave him a new contract. Minnesota did. They're like, hey, Pat, how about wear a T-Wolves something? That'd be great. How about it, Pat?
Honestly, he wore another team's jersey. Have you ever seen that ever?
No, I don't think so.
If Carlos Correa was at a game wearing I probably wouldn't care if he wore an Orioles jersey. I probably would be like, you see Carlos with the Orioles jersey? Because I'm a secure Astros fan if he's there. Now, if he's wearing a Red Sox jersey, or if he's wearing a Dodgers jersey, or even a Mets jersey, I'd be an insecure Astros fan.
Well, wait a minute. During the season? Okay, let's say they're playing the Angels the next day. He goes to a Dodgers game and wears a Dodgers shirt. Right.
That's what Pat Beverly just did.
Yeah, right.
That's unheard of.
I know it is, but... What?
Players get what they want. It's Pat Beverly, so you care less, probably.
So, here are some questions. This is what the Rockets need to do right now. Determine whether or not the Kevin Porter Jr. point guard experiment is a fruitful endeavor. Hold right? On. What? Okay. Oh, you're getting your judge. He's getting his judge.
Jury, your do Honor. We have a verdict? Yes, we do, Your Honor. In the case of the people of Houston versus Kevin Porter Jr., legitimate point guard and guy to run the offense. We find the defendant guilty of incapability of running an offense effectively.
All right. Well, I think we found that one out.
He'll be remanded to a backup two guard position.
Begin the development of Jalen Green as a scorer and playmaker.
Yeah.
Yep. Identify Alperen Şengün's skill floor and how others can potentially fit around him.
That's interesting. His skill floor.
Right.
I've never heard that concept.
I've never heard. Yeah. Identify his skill floor.
Well, so that's interesting because I've never heard people make decisions based on a guy's floor.
Well, yeah. I'm
just trying to think what's the
we look at the ceiling, but we also know, like for example, Aiden Hutchinson. We know his floor is, okay, he's going to be a very good
defensive
end.
Floor determines value.
Right.
But that's not what they're saying.
At the very least, we know he's going to be.
Read it again.
Identify Alperen Şengün's skill floor and how others can potentially fit around him.
So usually you do skill, you do their a player's floor, skill floor, or just overall productivity floor to determine their value. Like, how do we value them? What they're saying is determine his skill floor, which is extraordinarily high. A skill floor? He's going to be one of the most skilled big men in the league.
Maybe they, messed up the words. It should be floor skills.
I don't know what that means necessarily. It sounds really good, like it's a good word salad. I don't really know what that means necessarily.
Right.
How guys I tell you what they mean. I think what they mean is what's the lowest? What's his floor? Because we know his ceiling's high, and how are we going to build around him? Maybe we're looking at this all wrong. This whole build around Jalen Green. Maybe this should be built around Şengün.
Really?
Well, I'm just asking you.
I don't know that he has that skill. So he ain't Luke. Are you talking about? I mean,
he is a phenomenal passer. He can play high. He can shoot threes. He can play high post, and he's working with Dream in the low post. I think that in 2 years, mark my words here, Alperen Şengün by the age of 21 is going to be one of the most exciting young players in the league because he will be doing things that other bigs are not doing, and he looks like that guy's gotten a lot thicker than the video before he was drafted.
And that's
he's
one of the things he has to do. In 2 years, he'll be much more of a man.
His calves, and I mean, he's a thick kid.
He's
got
to get stronger too, though.
Yeah, he does. He needs some grown man
strength. Here's a good one too. Construct a solid offensive game plan that can be continually added to and fleshed out. Yes.
Who wrote that? That's good.
This is The Athletic.
Of course, that's not.
And then come to terms on the Christian Wood equation. Is he here for the long haul or not?
Okay, that's Kelly Iko.
Yeah, it's Kelly Iko.
Yeah, Kelly's sharp. All those are good. And I think the Christian, all those are very valid. As a matter of fact, or what we talk about on a regular basis, those are the questions.
That's absolutely the question.
Yeah, I've got a question. If one of the questions that I'm going to answer for you is site jab, but. When we come back, Nick Saban had some comments at an Alabama coaches convention. They took the video down, so we don't have the audio for you, but I'll read it. And it brings up an interesting discussion. So a little bit of Nick Saban wisdom. I enjoy listening to him now. He used to scare me when we had him on the air when he was an LSU coach. Nobody believes me that we used to have Nick Saban. He's become larger than life. Nobody believes me that we used to have Nick Saban on a weekly basis when we were at 6'10 as the LSU coach. But it's a real thing. We did. We'll get to some of the things he had to say. Very, very interesting. Right now, I want to tell you about my friends over at SiteJab, Hector Garcia. The SiteJab family, they want you to basically make more money. I don't know any other way I can position it as, well, they want you to be able to show your product and put your business in its best light, and they want to help you generate more leads for your business and convert more leads into revenue. That's all true. The bottom line is they want you to make more money and they want to use your website to do it. And they can, you know, they can do video content. They can film it professionally. They integrate it into your site. They can do social media management, brand creation, logo creation. Obviously, they're going to build your website up from the ground floor up, the back end, the front end design. And what they want people to do is they use analytics to have an idea of how to keep people on your site longer, interact with it more robustly, and then convert those eyes into real business leads that turn into money for you. So they're going to set your website up accordingly, and that includes with e-commerce if you want that done. SiteJab.com is the website. Go to the website and click the button in the upper right-hand corner to set up your appointment. SiteJab, SiteJab.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we get to Nick Saban, just want to say that I had to turn down an opportunity to go see Bad Bunny at Toyota Center last night. Belize was in the building, so our friends from Belize brought a bunch of people with them from Belize. They went and purchased a suite back in the summer for Bad Bunny. In the summer, they said, Bad Bunny's coming. We want to get a suite, and we're going to bring Belize with us. So that's what they did, and they had a ticket for me, and I was like, man, I don't even care that much about Bad Bunny, to be honest with you. But the spectacle, like the event, it would have, because that thing is, he's got Minute Maid Park. He's just sold out, I think, 3 shows at Minute Maid Park for this fall. He's going to be at Minute Maid Park performing too. So he's doing these massive stadium deals.
I didn't know what a Bad Bunny was before this morning.
But you didn't know who other groups have been either, and you've gone to them before with friends?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the rapper that you went to that you sent us a picture?
Yeah.
Who was that? You didn't know that guy.
I still don't know who it is.
You would have gone to Bad Bunny. You would have liked Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's on everything. Finally, frankly,
I just saw him in a video with Jennifer Lopez.
That was good. From 2018.
I want to do that.
Be in a video with Jennifer Lopez or Bad Bunny.
He's also
I don't care about Bad Bunny.
He's also like a professional wrestler at this point too.
Is he?
Yeah,
he does
stuff with like WWF or WWE, whatever.
Oh, they
is.
Have him too.
Yeah, Bad Bunny actually wrestles.
He's an updated, younger version of Pitbull, where you see him everywhere. Pitbull for a while took over everything, and I got over. It was just too much Pitbull. Now it's Bad Bunny on a Corona. I don't think his agent says no to anything, any deal.
He's selling Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. Hey, we would like, we've got some Stance socks that we want Bad Bunny. Can we put Bad Bunny's face on that? Absolutely. Bad Bunny, is there any chance he'll do a Fanta commercial? Yes, he will. Boom, Bad Bunny. You tires, discount tires?
Cereal?
Bad Bunny. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You want instead of they're great, it's just eso es bueno. Bad Bunny. Just that. How much? How much? Cuánto? Yeah, eso es bueno. Bad Bunny just did Frosted Flakes.
Jack in the anyway, box, so you
that
missed,
guy with the head.
So you missed sudden, out on Bad Bunny last night.
Yeah, so.
Instead?
So instead, I. Watch Rockets.
Well, you watched the Rockets instead of
that? So I had draft stuff. They had to get there at a certain time. It just the timing didn't work out because I thought about it. But then I was like, you know who's too important to me? John Granato. And I don't want to let him down by coming in and drag assing in the morning. I'm not going to do that to him.
That
I'm going to be a team guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to see Bad Bunny. I'm going to finish writing up this running back from San Diego State. Then I'm going to go be a family man, like the father of the year I am. Go play my son Alec in ping pong for the championship of the family, you know. And then, and then I'll watch Rockets Clippers, which was the worst decision of the night, probably.
Yep, no, but by far.
It needed to happen. It needed to happen.
Did you get all your guys done yesterday?
I did.
You did 6 guys?
I did. I wrote 6 draft profiles. I didn't do 6 guys.
Oh, well.
Okay. I know what you mean. I just have to change.
Please.
I just have to change the wording.
What did
on this.
What did Nick Saban say?
Nick Saban was at the. I think I may have accidentally closed. No, here it is. He was at the Alabama Coaches Convention now, and speaking to those guys. Now Nick is pound for pound. Nick Saban is everything you would want Bill Belichick to be. Bill just gives you.
Well, we gotta do this. We're not going to be able to run it. It's on to Cincinnati.
And you know he's got all this incredible football knowledge you'd love to hear. That's why whenever – have you ever seen the documentary with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick just kicking it at like Bill's house?
No.
Talking football? Incredible. It's incredible. But to me, I mean, that's what I'm into. And I think you would like. I know you would like it. You should definitely try to look it up. I don't know if it was on ESPN or NFL Network, but it was fantastic. I think it was NFL Network. And but Bill Belichick in there, you know, his guard's down, and he's really good just listening to him talk football. But Nick Saban will give it to you all the time. And Nick Saban is up on his, like, he's on a soapbox, but Nick speaks from a position of grand authority. Nick Saban speaks from a position of dynasty and championships. And so when he says something, it matters. Oh, and like, I think Dabo Swinney has some very interesting things to say as well. I mean, same thing with Urban Meyer at a time. You know, they're transcendent coaches. Nick's at the top. So he was speaking at Alabama Football Coaches Association, and he started talking about Henry Ruggs, and he talked about leadership to these coaches. And at one point he said players need to...
By the way, this was taken down for some reason.
It was taken down because the Alabama football coach, somebody was taping it there, and they released it on Twitter, and they didn't have the right to do that.
Yeah.
So it got pulled off. But the players, quote-unquote, care more than ever before about what others think of them, and it's affecting their opportunities to be role models. And here's what Nick Saban said. Well, if there was a player in Las Vegas who was drinking at 3 o'clock in the morning with his buddies and his girlfriend, and somebody, now I'm going to read this like he did because I watched the video, and somebody would have taken his keys away, you know, it probably would have pissed him off, probably would have made him mad, probably wouldn't have thought very much of you for doing that, but he'd be a whole lot better off now. Or is he better off where he was going 156 miles an hour and running into the ass end of somebody and killing him? And he said, and this is a good kid, and we had no problems with him at school. But now his career's in jeopardy, and he faces a mountain of legal issues. So what kind of friend were you? What kind of leader were you when you allowed the guy to do it? But nobody wants to do it because they're afraid of what somebody's going to think of you. That's what he talked about. His idea, what he was talking about is, in the moment, you know, worrying about in the moment that somebody is going to, you know, call you a square, call you a square. What am I? Somebody's going to call you a square.
Yeah, see?
But somebody's going to call you whatever. Somebody's going to be pissed off at you. Man, I'm a grown man. I can make my own decisions. Stuff like that. But if somebody knew he had had too much, like, I guess it's the old if you see something, say something mentality, where all of us have been in positions with friends. And I mean, you can go back to high school to now, whatever age group, where you know your friend's making a mistake. It could be with a girl. It could be she's cheating on him and you know it. You don't want to tell him because, you know, it could be whatever, where you could help your buddy out in the long term. And he made a very, very distinct, specific point. Henry Ruggs killed somebody, and his life as he knows it is will never be the same because somebody else's life is completely gone. Somebody else is completely gone because of his actions. And I don't know if there's somebody there. I'm assuming there was somebody there who knew Henry Ruggs had had way too much to drink, and that was Nick's point. And he was trying to make that point.
Was he with his teammates? Was he with other guys? I don't know.
I really don't know. I don't know. Nick was making the point, I think, in case it comes up again, that
he must have talked to Ruggs. He might have talked to him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But the coaches, I think he's telling the coaches that you need to impart this on your players, because your players will have a chance to have an impact on somebody else's life, even if, you know, step up and be a role model. I said, Tyler, I sent you some other sound. I want to play that right now. We're getting up against a break, but here's Nick Saban on ESPN talking about leadership.
You know, the people that are leaders on your team have to be committed to doing things the right way. I mean, you played for me, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you got to set a good example. You can't be the guy that walks in the meeting late. You can't be the guy that's missing class. You got to set a good example and be somebody that everybody else on the team can emulate, because that's the only way they're going to respect you, right, when you stand up and speak and try to get people to follow you to do the things that you need to do to accomplish great things in college football or to win a championship. You know.
So I wanted to play that because this is what is always in my mind whenever I talk about Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. It's important for me that the Rockets get that kind of guy who is the leader in the locker room is not always the good guy. And I'm not saying Kevin Porter Jr. is a bad guy. You know, or best player. And I'm not saying Kevin Porter Jr. is a bad guy. But what I'm telling you is they're not always going to have leadership characteristics. They may have leadership in the wrong direction, not positive leadership. So I think it's very important that the Texans, when you hear people talk about culture, that's a word that gets thrown around. But what it means is right there, what Nick Saban just said. Your leader, you have to have a guy who does things the right way that other people will respect. Because once they do it and they're respected, other people start to fall in line. The reason the Ravens are who they are today is because Ray Lewis and Ed Reed built a culture over there. And they did. Watching accountability. I know you're going to talk about Ray Lewis and the Atlanta Super Bowl, but that's really irrelevant to what they built in Baltimore. In that building, and Ozzie Newsome too, obviously. But Ozzie Newsome, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, they simply demanded that you play physical, tough, and that you watch film and you practice hard and you lift it hard. And that's all there was to it. And it wasn't going to be anything other than that. You had to do that. And look at how long this has carried on, because it's the next guy learns it and the next guy learns it and the next guy learns it. And we're on a 22-year run where we look at the Ravens and the Steelers the same way. Do you think of the Steelers? I mean, you may think they're up or down, but Steeler football means the same thing
it's
now.
It's different
that it
now, though. What's the stat you saw yesterday?
Well, they were last in the league in run defense.
Run? It gave up 5 yards a run?
But did you think they were?
No, but
neither did
because,
I.
Because
they have a reputation.
Because you're watching the uniforms.
Well, and they just had a player one defensive player of the year again.
Yeah.
And T.J. Watt. So, yeah, but you're watching the uniforms. But that's the point. The uniforms matter because there's a Steeler standard. There's never been a Texan standard. And I know, and I got a chance to joke about it if I want, but I aspire for my teams.
We don't have the history.
I think
but,
the Astros have built a culture. I think the Astros have clearly built a culture. That's all I want for the Rockets and Texans. It's why I get kind of mad, because I see it not happening and it kind of frustrates me. With the Rockets, it's still, we'll see. And with the Texans, we'll see. Actually, we don't know. The Texans have a chance to build
we'll
it.
See, because they, you know what? The Texans,
they got rid of some
Texans,
bad culture.
That's
guys.
Exactly right. They saw that. They identified it, and they acted on it. And we're all pissed about it because they got rid of all the good players because of it. But maybe that's not the culture.
The D-Hop thing is the one that I think ultimately, that's the one that may come back where you say, you didn't get maybe great value, but that maybe was the right move.
It maybe
even
was.
Even it didn't feel like it.
But it maybe was, and probably absolutely was, but you didn't get value for it.
No. And it wasn't handled the right way.
No. 745 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, speaking of the Texans, Deshaun's agent shot back on an ESPN report. We will have that on the other side. But first, I want to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my man John Clay Wolf over at GiveMeTheVin.com. He's the best. He is unbelievable. We haven't heard from him. You know, usually he does these spots that are like 4 minutes long, 5 minutes long, and he just, you know, he's awesome. He never wants to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com.
Yeah, I'm sure Todd's sad
about
that.
He wants to talk about, you know,
the 4 minute segment that he does.
Right. Well, yeah. Now, tomorrow morning, you can hear him doing all kinds of segments on his radio show, which is the longest running show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he is, I mean, he's fun. He's great. But the thing about John Clay Wolf is he gives you more for your car. That's the key to the whole thing. He gives you more than anyone else will. So that's why you want John Clay Wolf in your life. Sure, you want to laugh too. He says funny things. But more importantly, he gives you more money than other people do. So if you're going to sell your car, don't be dumb. Why would you sell it for less? Unless you're giving it to your nephew or your daughter or whatever the case may be. If you want the most for your car, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Okay, so welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to get in? 713-780-3776. So ESPN yesterday had a report that was scrolling along the bottom that Deshaun Watson has begun evaluating potential fits for his services in 2022, the Buccaneers and Vikings among teams on his radar. Well, Josina Anderson actually called David Mulligetta, and David Mulligetta said, We haven't had any talk among ourselves or with teams about possible destinations as we are focused on clearing Deshaun's name at this time. I find it hard to believe that Deshaun is not
accurate.
Yeah. I find it very hard to believe.
That's an inaccurate statement. No, I don't care one way or another. What difference does it make? Does, maybe David thinks it. You know what? David must thinks it. It's a bad look for the. He thinks it's a bad look for the deposition that, or he's got to think it's a bad look that Deshaun, in the midst of all these lawsuits, is plotting a football strategy. I don't think anything of it. I don't. Do you?
No. No.
I just think, okay.
Agents lie all the time, okay? But, you know, that Deshaun isn't thinking about where he wants to play next is kind of stupid, okay? Now, where they got that the Bucks and the Vikings are, I don't know. I have no idea. Now, you know, there are people inside of his camp that might let some stuff go. You never know. I mean, anything is, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about Deshaun to the Vikings.
Yeah.
About what that Deshaun would like to... I just believe that Deshaun wants to go somewhere where it's about lifestyle. What I was told is, not necessarily. He wants to win. Like, he wants a great chance to win. But then I've also heard maybe Philadelphia or Pittsburgh wouldn't make sense. And I'm just thinking, if you want to win, I mean, number one, I don't think Dallas is some unstoppable force, and I definitely don't think the NFC is some. I understand the NFC won the Super Bowl, but the NFC doesn't strike me as this unbelievable, barrier to success. Minnesota.
Well, everybody's saying the opposite, actually.
Yeah, it's great, and that's why I think you do hear him mentioned with Tampa makes sense. Obviously, it makes a lot of sense. Minnesota, I was interested to find out that he might consider that, but that would depend on Kirk Cousins. And if you were the Texans, would you?
$45 million in dead cap.
Play this little game with you. No, it's actually. Are you sure that's what it is? Because on Sirius they were saying he's making 37. So you wouldn't take on. You'd be taking on 37. I mean, that's still a ton of money.
But
you're also going to pay Deshaun in that neighborhood. Would you consider? I don't see what benefit it would be for the Texans unless they could flip Kirk Cousins to you wouldn't want to flip him to the Colts or I'm trying to think of why it would make sense to flip flop Deshaun Watson for Kirk Cousins and picks. Like Kirk Cousins is better than Kirk Cousins has consistently throws for 4,000 yards and his touchdown interception is good, and there's a reason Justin Jefferson and Allen Adam Thielen have killed it. I mean, he's better than Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is, but
SpotTrack has Kirk Cousins 45 dead cap,
not making 45. That's dead cap number. That's for the
for
the Vikings if they
right
cut
his signing bonus right.
The Texans would
he's
take
making
on
35.
Yeah,
this year,
which is what the
with
Texans
10
would
signing
take on.
Bonus 45 dead cap. But that's listen. How the Vikings going to afford 45 dead cap, by the way, if they pick up Deshaun Watson? But that's another 35 on top of it.
Well, but you say 40, it's 45 dead cap, but you also subtract the money that you would have had to pay. So the net is what you look at.
No, which their dead cap would be $45
million. This is his last year.
Yeah.
I know, that's the dead cap number is 45, but you subtract it from his salary. That's how you do that. You're not going to have 40. You're not going to have the full 45 because you're not. You don't have to pay the guy that much. In other words, it's guaranteed. He has a fully guaranteed. He got his entire contract guaranteed. It's the first time in NFL history I've ever seen a quarterback get it fully guaranteed. As I've said before, Kirk Cousins is Kurt Flood. You didn't see it coming, but he has gamed the system more than any quarterback in history. Would you take on a Kirk? Just hypothetically, forget all the numbers and all that stuff. Would you take on a Kirk Cousins? Because you know Kirk Cousins can play. He can play at a certain level. It's a level, to me, higher than Matt Schaub, but it's a level that he's at the top end of what he's going to be. He's never going to be better than what he is right now. This is who he is. Good stats, doesn't come up with his biggest games. Would you take that on right now? What value is that for the Texans if you're exploring? I mean, you'd put them on a lesser – younger team. Kirk Cousins is a game manager he's a game manager who will put together some stats, but he needs things around him to be good.
Yeah. I don't think you can take on his $35 million. Well, you might be able to take on
because
his $35
million. Because you're moving
Deshaun's. Yeah, right.
But what's the value in it? What?
I never do be you no have, value in Kirk Cousins coming in.
Do you have none, value in none, Kirk
none,
Cousins?
No, none.
Well, how old is he?
Kirk Cousins. He
played 4 years of college.
He's 33.
Okay. It's not crazy to think Kirk Cousins could play until he's... I mean, in this day and age, 37 isn't a big deal for quarterbacks.
No.
If you could get four more years out of Kirk Cousins,
really?
Would
you
want that?
That?
Well, I would if I didn't know, if I thought if Davis Mills had never come back and flashed, and I just was left with the taste in my mouth of Davis Mills that got benched again for Tyrod Taylor, I might consider it because that's a quick fix.
That's something I don't want. Why would I want to be in Kirk Cousins purgatory for the next 4 years?
Well, you're in a quarterback purgatory anyway right now.
I don't know that. I would rather at least see.
But you are.
I would rather at least see, though. And then know that I've got to get another guy.
That's the question. That's the question. Would you rather? It's going to be more painful with the Davis Mills and a Kirk Cousins. It just is.
Well, don't forget this is the last year of a deal of a $90 million plus deal.
Right. You'd have to.
And what are you going to pay him?
You'd have to give him another contract.
Good Lord.
And I don't know that Kirk Cousins is not a bad quarterback.
No.
Look, people create narratives. And we all jump into him. Same thing we talked about with Mitchell Trubisky. The stats, I don't think he's a good quarterback by any stretch, but the stats are actually better than you think. Kirk Cousins, you think he's a horse turd quarterback, and then you look at all the data and you're like, wow, this is more consistent than Deshaun Watson's stuff. I'm like, Kirk's got good numbers. He really does. But we know from watching the games, this is where analytics fall short. You have to have context, and he's not that dude. Like, he's just not that dude. So would you want him? Would you want to be in that area of good, not great? Forget us.
No.
The Colts then.
No.
Like for the Texans, I wouldn't.
When people are looking at this now, like there was a big discussion about San Francisco trying to get Aaron Rodgers, San Francisco.
Versus Trey Lance.
Versus Trey Lance.
Yeah.
There was a big discussion. And Tannenbaum goes, well, wait a minute. They just gave up 3 first rounders for him. You think John Lynch is going to walk into Shanahan's office and go, what? After I just gave up, you told me this guy was the guy?
No, you have to develop him.
You have to try. You've only got five years. But when we see what Matthew Stafford did just now, other than walking away from that woman that fell off the stage and throwing, which Keyshawn put it perfectly, that punt interception he threw against San Francisco, guess what? We're all talking about a different story about Matthew Stafford right now if it wasn't for that punt interception drop.
Jaquaski Tart. Right?
Tart, yeah, Tart's drop. If Tart catches that ball, we're not talking about Matthew Stafford and Odell and
no,
all this.
Because all ESPN did was a whole week of what's his legacy if he loses. Like they were setting it up. Yeah. I mean, they were setting it up to hammer him.
Absolutely. So now he's a hero, except for when he walks away from people falling off stages. Other than that, because he's caught it.
He has caught it. Where you go like this? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he turned and drank his water and walked off.
Yeah, when he turned and ran.
He was hammered.
For those of you who haven't seen it, he saw a woman fall off the stage at the parade.
She fractured her spine. And then they searched her Twitter, and they found lots of racist stuff on it.
Oh, did they?
Well, lots of racist stuff. She was quoting N-words and songs. She was dropping F-bombs. Oh, yeah. She had comments about Mexican this and that.
No.
Oh, yeah. They did a full scale.
Well, see, don't
they
fall went off back the stage
to,
now.
They went back to 2013, and they said, you people need to get your GoFundMe money back.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, she's in a hospital with a fractured spine, and it's still, as of last night, was still up on her. Because I was thinking,
Matthew, not Matt, as Kelly Stafford likes him to be called. I thought they are going to pay for everything.
They are. Yeah. And the Rams, they're still going to.
Well, guess
what? They're
going
to pay for her hospital bills and the cameras.
And guess what? Guess what else? They're going to catch a lawsuit from her when an unsafe working environment it was. That's what they're going to catch.
Well, you know, if they had more fans
they better pony up.
No, they better pony up.
So that must have been at the very end because there wasn't a lot of people around the stage.
Well,
that was the parade. There were tens of people there.
No. There's other, you can see there's a lot more people at that particular area when he was giving his speech. I didn't realize how hammered he was. He was completely out of it.
All right, when we come back, we got to finish up that conversation. Anyway, we started something, and we will finish it on the other side here on ESPN 97, because there's a lot more to this.
When we come back, John's going to convince us that we need to get Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's
nobody's more excited.
You wanting Kirk Cousins is like, what?
No, I just think it's, I don't like the fact that the media now gets to create, like, this guy's great, and this guy, they try to gaslight us into believing bad quarterbacks are good, and that guys who are pretty good quarterbacks are terrible.
No. Like, I get what? That, except for the fact that
when we come back,
he doesn't beat anybody.
Ever. I'd certainly rather be the Colts. But the Colts are in a very I want to compare the Colts and the Texans, because they couldn't be in more different situations. But in some ways, the Texans are free swinging at the plate, where the Colts have to be a little bit tight right now.
Oh, absolutely. And right now we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. They're at your disposal. You know what? They literally are at your disposal. But here's the deal is, I don't care what it is. And now, are we going to have pipes frozen? Because if you got copper piping, there's a chance that your pipes froze last night. There's a chance, because they're old. And guess what? They're going to be brittle. And this, the technology now in the pipe game is unbelievable. And Aqueduct Plumbing can come. They are, I'm not going to say it's the one-day repipe, but, man, they do it quick. They do it in a hurry, and they're going to do a great job. And they're going to come to your home and give you a free on-site estimate. And they're going to do the work themselves. Aqueduct Plumbing, 281-488-6238.
The Bench Plumbing is the website, and you can see all the services they offer. And I think for me, one of the things that surprised me a couple of years ago was how many things that plumbers do. Like, plumbers are actually responsible for gas lines, and there's actually a lot of different things that plumbers can do, and there's a lot of things that Aqueduct Plumbing Company can do for you. So go to thebenchplumbing.com and take a look at all the services they offer. And then just know that you've got a company that you can trust, you can believe in, that will do the work for you affordably, and more importantly, they will not try to charge you for anything that you don't need. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.